When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Comment and a prediction, because he says, what happens if this goes well? What happens if it goes well in 2 years?
Well, he gets credit after the fact.
And you're looking at players who were, quote unquote, drafted by Farhan Zaidi. What if you're looking at a battery of Birdsong and Bailey, and then there's Bryce Eldridge holding down first base and batting third and hitting his 33rd home run of the year, and it's a splash hit into the San Francisco Bay. Like, okay, what if it plays that way? And you'll say, well, these are Farhan's people. Here's what you actually need to think about. And Farhan admitted this himself literally just last week. And he said, you know what? I probably should have found a way to create more of an avenue for the young players in this organization. It's not just about drafting them. It's about developing them. It's about having the patience to stick with them through thick and thin, and then creating somebody who can be an everyday player. What I'm most excited about today is that as Bryce Eldridge gets to the doorstep of Major League Baseball, hopefully when he comes up and hits 180 for 4 weeks, you ride it out. You ride that out. Because if you don't, you will rob the confidence of people. You will send them back and forth. You will then kill the morale of your clubhouse. And you will watch what has happened to Luis Matos. And you will watch what has happened to Marco Luciano. Like, the best thing that happened to Tyler Fitzgerald and Elliot Ramos is that they came up and then everyone went, dude, go play. Just go play. And when you go 0-for-4, you're going to be in the lineup again the next day. But that very rarely happened in the Farhan Zaidi regime. So he could draft the right player, but that doesn't do anything for you if you don't then give that player a chance with a little bit of patience.
Yes, draft and develop. And it's interesting what Chris said about credit, and we've all talked about it with Eldridge. Like, in 2 or 3 years, if he's a 23-year-old all-star, man, all the credit goes to Farhan Zaidi. Well, is that really how it works? Because Elliot Ramos this year was an all-star. Do you know who drafted him?
Not Farhan Zaidi.
It was Bobby Evans.
Correct.
So Bobby Evans, who was on with Steiny and Guru earlier, and I don't know if he has taken or will take a victory lap for Elliot Ramos, first round pick, number 17 overall.
We talked to him about it a couple months ago.
Right. And so he can take a victory lap and he can take credit, but what good is that? It does you no good when you don't currently have the gig. So yes, Bryce Eldridge, sure. And Patrick Bailey and Hayden Birdsong. These are all great picks, maybe. And if they turn out to be the battery on opening day or maybe a playoff game, and yeah, Farhan Zaidi drafted him. Good. It's a footnote. It doesn't matter for a hill of beans unless it helps him get a job somewhere else.
Well, you know what example is coming to mind as you're sitting here saying this is Steve Kerr. Like, what credit does Steve Kerr get? Do you ever hear of Steve Kerr getting any credit? Has he won anything around here?
Yeah, he's done all right.
I'm pretty sure the great players that Steve Kerr has worked with, he was not coaching when the team drafted them. He was not coaching when they first started to move up even in the organization, when they became starters, when they became 20-point-per-game players, when they became playoff players, when they made the playoffs and started moving through series. He was not the coach. And then he came in and he elevated him to another level. So I would look at it that way. And I'm not someone who's going to sit here today and validate all of the stuff you've said for the last 6 years and say that Farhan Zaidi was just a big bag of coal. You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
Plenty of people are, and you're allowed your feeling. But of course I can make a list of all bad. I can do that with Farhan Zaidi. You're leaving some things out. So If you want to do that, do that.
Yeah, you can
be,
do whatever you want.
Be emotional about it and be so excited that Buster's here, and that is all completely fair. But if you want to act like Farhan Zaidi never did anything right, I don't agree with you.
Yeah, you're wrong.
I think that this is the right move. I think we got to a spot where the organization was not functioning at a high level anymore. I think morale was killed. I think there are too many non-baseball things happening in a baseball organization. All those things are true. But if you just want to sit here and be like, this idiot who never, like, that's not how it happened.
No, it's wrong.
That's not how it happened. And a bunch of the players that you're sitting here now saying are the foundation for the future. And even if you love Matt Chapman, that's a great example. Does Buster get credit for Matt Chapman? Sign him to extension. He didn't sign him the first time he came here.
Exactly.
I don't know. There's always nuance and context, and it often gets lost.
Of course it does, especially on a day like this. And when you get replaced by one of the more beloved members of the organization in its history, it's going to cast a certain shadow on Farhan Zaidi. And Farhan inherited a team that was desperate for a lot of change. The farm was barren, and the Major League club was old and underperforming. And I liken the Farhan Zaidi era to a football team taking over first and 10 at its own 20-yard line, and he took them on a 16-play, 60-yard drive, and they had to settle for a field goal. And, you know, you got down.
They might have doinked the field goal off the bar, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of like 2 yards, yeah. 3 yards, yeah. 3 yards, fourth and one. He picked it up. Then there was a hold. Then they got 8. Then they got 7. Third and 6. He got 7 yards. Look, it was a lot of incremental wins. It was a lot of 2 steps forward and 1 step back. And at the end of it, you possess the ball for 6 years. And you wound up with a field goal, and you're right. They might have doinked it.
He didn't connect with the fan base, and the job was probably a little bit of a misfit in ways, because I don't think he fully connected with his baseball people either.
Good call.
I think he was a little bit too smart. I think that he, you know what I mean, and felt that way. He really, really wanted to do it his way, damn it, his way, even when others were telling him they needed to do it a different way. So there was some stubbornness there. I think all of those things are absolutely true. But Steiny said something on the air today that I would argue 70% of you don't want to believe, and it's a fact. And that is that the organization is in better shape today than it was when he took over.
Agreed.
And if you can't remember that, if you think that it was just playoffs and balloons every year, because we all love Boach, and we all love the regime that brought us all of those memories. But if you want to go back to 2017 and reverse history, go right ahead. That, like, I think that this was absolute a necessity. I think this is a great move. I think yesterday was a great day. All of that said, I would choose to look back on history that way, and that the organization is stronger right now than it was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And can you at least give him that?
Absolutely.
Can you at least give him that?
You can. And I'm just looking at a comp in terms of results. And I'm looking at 2004 to 2009, where you didn't win the division. You were 20 games above in 2004, which was, as you know, 2 years removed from the World Series and 1 year removed from a playoff berth. 04 to 09, 0 playoff berths. And you had 2 winning records. And they stuck with Brian Sabian through those years where it was really the tail end of Bonds, and you were trying to figure out a way to go from Barry to Barry, Barry Zito, that is. And so it was a little bit of an odd time for the organization, but they stuck with Sabian, and the fruits of his labor in the minors were born in 2010 when Buster came up and Mad Bum was up, and you ended up winning the World Series.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. A lot of you want to weigh in on all this. It was Buster Posey Day. Really, really interesting press conference that happened earlier today at Oracle Park. We're talking about it. We're taking your calls. 888-957-9570. Buddy and Will and Matt, hang right where you are, because we're coming to you, and then there's also another call that's going to come in here in a few minutes, and his name is Ryan Vogelsong. So Ryan will join us next. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. This is Willard and Dibs.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
To Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
You know who we're going to talk to in like literally just moments?
No, who?
Well, according to Matt Cain, one of the new Giants coaches.
Wait, what?
Didn't Matt Cain tell us that he could see Vogey being on the staff?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I asked Matt Cain who he thought would be cut from that cloth.
And he had no idea who was going to be on the River Islands guest line.
Nope.
Later on in the show. He didn't know that.
Does he get his old number back when he joins the staff?
Vogey?
Bob Melvin's staff? Yeah.
You know me. I'm like the anti-numbers guy. I'm like the opposite of Joe Shasky and Bonte. I have no clue what number. You have to be Buster-esque. 28. I got that.
Yep.
Steph wears 30.
Timmy.
I got that. Tim Lincecum?
Double nickels, kid.
Oh, right, 55. Right. I'm not,
a little disappointed too,
know,
Grant.
I'm not kidding you. I don't have the memory for the numbers. I just don't.
Joe Montana.
17? I'm kidding.
That was Steve DeBerg. Same thing.
No, I can get most of the big ones. And yeah, I knew Timmy was 55, but it escaped me. Mad Bum was 40. Is that right? Is Mad Bum 40?
Yeah, 40.
40,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Steph wears 30. Draymond wears 23.
Willie McCovey?
Sure. Yeah, Willie Mays was 24.
No, you said sure. You didn't answer.
He
Willie
was 44.
McCovey. Okay, yeah.
44.
Yeah.
Even the ones that are obvious take me a second.
Thank you.
It takes me. It's just the way my brains were. I'm watching the game.
Vogey
I'm just not.
Trey Deuce, 32.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty big number in sports. It's a pretty big number.
Barry Zito?
Oh, come on.
75.
Look at the big brain on bread.
That era Giants, the big ones were always the eights. 100 Pence wore eight.
Yes, 100 Pence wore eight.
Matt Cain wore 18, right?
And Buster was
28.
Buster
wore 28. Brian Wilson, 38. Pablo Sandoval, 48.
See, if you had asked me B-Dubs and Pablo, I'd have been like, meh. Like, literally, you would be shocked at what I can't tell you when it comes to players' numbers.
Yeah.
I can get most of the really big ones. I could tell you that Steve Young wore 9, for example. I'm kidding. I know that he wore eight.
This is not funny. Like, for the Warriors, you could rattle off the big three, and you would know.
Clay wore 11, the draft pick.
Yep.
Steph, 30. Draymond, 23.
Correct.
But if you start Kevon Looney-ing me, I'm.
GP2?
Sure, zero.
Okay, see, you can
right?
do it.
I can kind of do it, but I'm not sure of myself.
What's
at
crazy
all.
Is, and if this is a guide for everyone, in these moments of memory, if you close your eyes, the memories will
that
come back
help.
More strongly.
This isn't a memory thing. I just don't notice. It's not my thing.
Trent Williams?
71?
Yeah.
Okay.
Red shorts, IU.
He's 11. I know that.
Yeah. Your boy, Brockistan.
Brock
Purdistan. You're a Brockistan,
no,
so you know
13,
that one.
13 for Dan Marino.
Delicious. Dan 13 Marino. Is so.
Brock is a star. Stop it. He's a star.
You remember what Jimmy wore, right?
He wore 10, right?
Yeah. Okay. Ronnie Bell also wears 10. Just,
yeah, that's
healthy scratch. Debo Samuel.
Well,
Debo Samuel.
Now he wears number one.
Which I don't like.
But he used to wear
19 problems was
19
dope.
Problems.
George Kittle. That's my guru voice.
He was 85.
See, you're better than you think.
I mean, but like, you're giving me stupid, obvious stuff.
D'Anthony Melton? That made me feel good.
I have no idea, and I won't for
84.
Years. No.
I made that up.
Let's see where.
I don't know what he's
But, like, if you, I'll give you a good example of what I could. If you gave me Brandon Pajemski, I mean, I could. Does he wear 112? No clue.
He's a single. Yeah, I think he's a single digi.
No idea. And we love Pods. He's been on the show 413 times. That's a record. I have no clue what he wears.
But yeah, that's a tough one for me.
I feel good because look, you two, neither do you. Granny's Googling.
I knew he was single digs.
But you Googled. I saw you Googled.
Yeah, no, I didn't know it off the top of my head.
I have no clue what Pods wears.
How about Palms Up, Iguodala? What did he wear?
Oh, give me a second and I might get that.
Close your eyes. Yep.
Ah, Iguodala wore,
About as the number represents how many times a show I would rip him.
Did he wear number, nine?
Number nine. Yeah.
Did I get it?
Attaboy.
Oh my God. I was like 42% right sure now. On that. Yeah. I don't like it. I just don't notice. And especially if you give me the guys that are, I can get, as you just saw, I could get most of your A level guys. But when you go to B level, ask me about the second tight end.
Salbert, 82. Duh. Well,
yeah, you just told me 82. I wouldn't have gotten that.
Right.
I wouldn't have gotten that.
I was trying to tell you. Tell Noah Hufanga.
That is tough.
Does he wear, does he wear 29? Okay.
Dude.
Yeah!
This is like your hip-hop knowledge where you always surprise me.
It is kind of like that. Like, I got most of it, just not all of it.
No, you're running hot right there.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully our upcoming guest can...
Let's take some calls, because Vogie's a little bit late, so no worries. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Buddy in Walnut Creek. I have no idea what number he wears, but hi, Buddy. What do you got?
What I've got here is a little problem here, Wills. Let's see how many Giants that you can name that are going to be playing on the team next year. Jung Ho Lee.
Yes.
Number.
Oh, God, no idea.
Oh, boy.
No.
That's unfair.
Okay, you're
51.
I thought you were asking me if they were going to be on the team next year. I got that one right.
He's rocking 51 because within 2 weeks of him signing, I was seeing Jung Ho Lee jerseys in and about town. And I remember that because Ichiro Suzuki also wore 51.
See, I thought you were giving me an easier test. Okay, so give me some more, buddy.
Tyler Fitzgerald.
Yep. 14.
I've heard of him.
No clue.
No, it's Patrick Bailey where it's 14.
Oh, see, I wouldn't have known that either.
Elliot Ramos.
Yep.
Ramos.
How about,
good little player.
Elliot wears 35. I have no clue.
There you go.
Did I get it?
I think that's right.
No.
I think so.
No, that's Crawford.
Yeah. No, Brandon's not on the team anymore.
No one's going to wear 35.
Okay. What does Elliot wear?
I don't know.
Yeah, see, these guys, you don't know either. Buddy, you don't even know. You got to know the answer to your own question.
No, I know. That's not a good look.
Okay.
But,
Elliot Ramos wears 17. He wears 17.
Wow. Okay.
All right. The last two to wear 35 as Giants, Brandon Crawford and Rich Aurelia.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
Pretty cool, though.
No
one's worn it since those two shortstops.
Well, maybe the next shortstop will. Bo Bichette, number 35. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, here's what does look good, and I think it's the hiring of Buster Posey, and I think what he's going to bring to the organization. I think we all said it that you can identify talent, you can see talent, but can you develop talent, right? And I think maybe that's where there's going to be a little bit of a difference and giving guys a chance, because I think when you identify it, I think most of us have a pretty good eye, and I think a lot of us are a little disappointed when our eye doesn't equal results, and maybe our eye doesn't equal results because the guys we thought were going to be pretty good aren't given a chance. And I think when Buster came up, I think all of us had the eye was, this guy's going to be pretty good. Tim Lincecum, Matt Cain, Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford. I think we all had a pretty good eye that they're going to be pretty good, and we let them run through some slumps, and then they ended up producing. So the funny thing is about the Giants – and actually all major league teams, a lot of them, is the Giants won what? What, they won 80 games this year? And if you really think about it, and how many games they lost that were so close, and the difference between the Giants being a playoff team, a perennial playoff team, it's two games a month. So that's what I think the Buster difference is going to make. Let's win those two games extra a month. Let's not blow that save. Let's get that runner over. Let's be athletic. Let's be smart. Let's play good baseball. Two games a month is 12 games. That's 92 wins for the Giants. It's not saying we got to be careless.
Like, you sound like, is that the scene from, is it Bull Durham? Or one of the old movies, not Bull Durham.
It's Any Even Sunday.
No.
We fight for that inch.
No, the one where he goes, you know what the difference is between
a
250 hitter and a 300 hitter? Basically, it's one hit a week. It's one more ground ball with eyes. It's one more Texas Leaguer, whatever it is. And, buddy, you're not wrong. I was asked earlier today, thanks, buddy, it was Nahigian who goes, hey, do you honestly think that this move alone makes the Giants, say, 5 or 6 games better? Which, by the way, is still not enough. But does this make them 5 or 6 games better? Like, if this team were being run by Buster Posey, do you think they would have won 85 games? And I go, you know what? I actually think that they do. And it can be the exact same players. And my belief is that morale was a problem, and I'm a big believer in morale, which is something that is intangible, turning into things that are tangible. I'm a very big believer in that. And so if you've got players who don't feel good about themselves, or they don't feel confident, or they're being told that they're not allowed to hit a left-hander, or they know that if they strike out, they might get sent down the next day. If you have all those things, like, I don't think Farhan was trying to do that, but the mechanics of what he was doing did do that. And I do think that probably the collective led to some losses.
Without a doubt. And it's something that I've said for years and years and years on the radio and off the radio, especially when it comes to analytics, because the analytics tell you what a player should do in a situation based on their ability versus the pitcher's ability, lefty, righty, righty, lefty, ballpark factors, day game, night game, whatever those things are that you want to lean on. But at the end of it, you're dealing with human beings. And I know this, if we had a station that was run purely by analytics, and if I woke up in the morning and didn't know until about 12 o'clock whether or not I would be the technical director, Mark Grandy, the director of sports taking calls, Lucas Alexander, your seat, my seat, mornings, middays, afternoons, nights, Spadoni's job, not on the air, any of that, if every day it was up for question,
oh God,
you wouldn't be as good. Nobody would be as good. One thing that we have here is, I know it's going to be me and you and Grandy and Lucas, except for days when people have off, whatever. And you know, going in, I know when I'm working with you, what you're going to do, how you're going to present things, how I'm going to react, and how you're going to react to me and the callers and this and the sound and everything else. It's comfortable. And because I'm comfortable, and I hope you are too, and I think you are, and everyone else is, our show is elevated because we don't have that mystery that goes into playing for an analytics organization.
It's kind of an interesting comp in terms of industry. Like, imagine if in our industry you reacted with jobs based on what happened last month.
Or last night.
If you just took a 4-week period and went, okay, I'm making decisions based on that. Well, you're dead. You're dead. Like, it's too volatile. It's too dependent on other things that are completely out of people's controls. Like, what season is it? Who's playing? Who's playing well? Like, whatever. Like, that has an effect on our data. And the Giants were being run in a way where if you did have a bad month, that might be it. And you go to Sacramento and see if you can luckily work your way back or not.
Right.
And I'm not saying that that's always the wrong move. Sometimes it is. I'm not saying you just bring up your young people and here, Casey Schmidt, you're our shortstop now. Like, right. No. If you swing at every pitch that's outside, then no, you don't get to be the shortstop anymore. But there does have to be more patience. And imagine how we might have felt had Farhan and that way still been in charge when someone like a Bryce Eldridge came in. And you're like, is he being developed right? And is he going to be given a chance? I mean, the Luciano thing is so fascinating because you're right. He didn't draft him, but he also oversaw the organization while Marco floundered around in the minor leagues in such a way where he is not good enough to bring a glove to any position, and seemingly nobody knew. Like, think about that, okay? 1 year ago today, we sat in the dugout and listened to Farhan say, we have got to let go of Brandon Crawford because we have got to open up a lane for Marco Luciano to be our opening day shortstop. Come to know a year later, he can't pick up a ground ball. How is that possible?
Right.
That kind of thing just can't be. It can't be. It's okay. It's not Farhan's fault that he can't pick up a ground ball, but it's Farhan's fault that they're still putting him over at shortstop, asking him to pick up ground balls. When he can't pick up ground balls, you're a major league team. So put him in the outfield, make him a DH, or trade his butt to Toronto before anybody realizes that he can't pick up a ground ball. That's the kind of stuff that needed to happen.
Did we not see that he couldn't pick up a ground ball before last October when y'all sat in the dugout? And
I guess I can only guess not, but I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, and maybe it's because he didn't play a lot of games last year, and you know he played some second last year, and I'm looking at his game log in 2023, and he was hurt a lot, so he only played 50 games in the minors, and he only committed 7 errors in those 50 games, which is a lot for a shortstop, but not an alarming number. And the year before that, he only played 57 games. Well, he made 12 errors in those 57 games. Maybe that would have been a tip-off. But at the time, he was only 20 years old. So maybe the prevailing notion was, oh, he'll get better. And then he was hurt. And then he didn't get better. And then he was hurt. And he didn't get better. And then this year, he got a shot in the bigs. And oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. It was embarrassing.
Fielding percentage of .865 at shortstop.
It's embarrassing. And it's really, when I talk about morale, these are the things. You have a fan base that's been gassed up about Marco Luciano for the better part of 4 years. And then he gets up here, and that happens. They don't even know where to throw the ball if he's lucky enough to catch it. And you're like, what? This is our great hope? It kills everybody's vibe. It just does. It just does. Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good to talk to you guys again.
Thank you, Will.
From you guys often. By the way, thank you. Remember a guy named Theodore Roosevelt once said, speak softly and carry a big stick. No pun intended here. That's what you got here with Posey, okay? For me, I agree with everything you guys have said, but I just want to elaborate a little bit on the minor league pipeline and the drafting, okay? It's not an anomaly that the Dodgers have all these young guys coming out and with the organization, or the Orioles, or the Braves. And I think he knows that. And I think he knows that he needs to get a little bit more fine-tuned with the scouts and the people in that department, okay? Reminds me of a movie with Clint Eastwood, Trouble with the Curve, okay? These guys need to see, you know, beyond the obvious and those things. The other thing is this perception that Oracle Park is not a hitter's park, okay? Now, granted, it was designed, you know, for the hitter situational play, feeling a base is getting hit in. But it also rewarded the hitters, the power hitters, and also the pitchers, okay? Any question about that? You know, look at that unicorn that hit a 430-foot shot to the deepest part of the park. You know who I'm talking about.
Well, those are outliers, though, Will. Like, I'm going to take my cues from the people who have actually hit in that park, and they will all tell you it is a terrible hitter's park.
Well, let me say this, Will, okay? When you're swinging for the fences every time you come to the play and your strikeouts are some of the worst in baseball, okay, that also plays into this picture. What I'm saying...
Yeah, but Will, no, hang on, Will. Now you're talking about today's players. I'm talking about all of them. For 24 years at 24 Willie Mays Plaza, Rich Aurelia was on the morning show today. Rich will tell you.
Okay.
Terrible hitter's park.
Okay. You know, but then again, we can look back in the past, and and you got Barry, that takes a flick of the wrist, and that ball's sitting in the cove.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And like I meant to show it. Okay.
It's one steroids, flick of the wrist, but yeah,
430 feet. Let me finish my point. Okay. I think that Posey, okay, could step up, and you're not going to see, these guys flying overhead, like Harper and like Judge and Shohei and whoever, smiling down and going, what a beautiful city, next. Okay. I think he can bring a perception that you can get the big hits in this park. We don't play platooning baseball anymore. It's not all analytics based. You come here, we're going to play you every day, and you can hit as long as I'm in charge. Okay.
Yeah. Will, I agree with that. Will, thank you very much for the call. I agree with that. I mean, yeah, what do Judge, Soto, Ohtani, and Harper all have in common?
No park can hold them.
Well, they're also all still playing.
Right.
They're all still playing baseball.
And they're also hitting bombs wherever they're playing.
Yeah.
And they also all turn down playing here.
Yeah. Wow.
A lot of commonalities.
Soto didn't do it yet. The team that was holding him turned it down. But yeah, and by the way, I don't think that is a 100% fair barometer. I really don't. Like, that's another thing. I get the frustration, but to sort of like judge an entire regime's tenure based on whether or not the three best players in the game would come there, that's pretty tough. Like, first of all, Aaron Judge is a Yankee. He ain't leaving the Yankees. I do think the ballpark, from what I've heard, was the chief reason that Shohei wouldn't come. And actually, I'll go to my grave feeling that they could have had Bryce if they'd ponied up. They just got beat financially. And that's on them. That's on them. That, to me, is always going to be the one who got away. Bryce Harper should have been a Giant, because they should have added $35 million onto a massive 13-year deal. That's not asking that much. That's $3 million a year more. If they had done it, I think he'd be here. I really do. So that's the one to me that's on them. I'm not going to hold Shohei or Aaron Judge against Farhan Zaidi.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I don't hold any of them against Farhan Zaidi outside of the fact that he didn't get it done. And your job is to put together the best roster you could, and you pursued him, and you couldn't bring it in. I'm just looking at the StatCast numbers for ballparks, and based on home runs, Oracle Park is ranked number 30 in StatCast. Actually, it's 30 out of 32. They have London Stadium, and they have Journey Bank Ballpark as the other two that are below. Oracle Park has a rating of 78. 100 is average, and it's rated as a 78. Great American Ballpark is 128 for home runs.
Oh, that place. Yeah, you could flick the ball out of there.
Right. Yeah. Dodger Stadium is two, Yankee Stadium is three.
It's not a good hitter's park.
This is just for home runs.
Well documented. Let's go to Matt in Napa. Hey, Matt, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, actually. And this is ironic that I'm actually agreeing with you, Willard. You got to give him time. I'm a Tigers fan, so 2012 was the worst year of my life, my first year living in Napa. But we got Harris from the Giants, new GM. He took over from Avila. Avila, we all hated. Harris comes in with all the young guys and starts promoting them and starts hitting. They start playing. The other thing with Posey, I think, is going to be great. He's a catcher. Catchers are the smartest guys in baseball. No doubt about that. And, I mean, I think this is going to be a great move for the Giants. And then the one last thing I have to say is, please have some chicken milk. Later.
Nice.
See you, Matt.
Shout out chicken milk. That goes back to Jolo and Dibs days, where Lo Neal seemed to think, maybe it was just a day, but that you could milk a chicken. You could get milk from a chicken. So chicken milk became a thing on the show.
Go to hell, Dibs.
I'm sorry, Lo, but when a caller calls in and walks us off with chicken milk, and my partner looks at me like, what the hell was that?
Do you have proof that you can't?
I don't have proof either way.
I'm just asking the questions here.
Lo Neal grew up on a farm.
You got to Google it.
I'm trying to remember the exact reference, but it had to do with milking a chicken. And maybe somebody out there, 888-957-9570, chicken milk became a thing. Chicken milk.
I'm really ticked off that that's not the name of your fantasy team.
I could use
Dibber, this Dibber Claus thing. It honestly, it's just, it's played out. Like, do something different. You know, how many nicknames do you got? With Nostradiblis, fine. Yep, yep. We'll do Fade the Dibbers. Dibber Claus, it's not Christmas yet. Like, just shake it up.
The thing about Dibber Claus is I am
chicken milk. That would have been great.
There's so many low-isms I could have used.
Yeah.
But, you know, a hungry lion hunts best.
Toe jams and chicken milk. You could have done it.
Yeah.
You still can.
I'm sticking with Dibber Claus.
Just go to the edit button.
And as you know, the Dibber, I give and give and give. Last night I gave you a Monday night winner.
And a loss.
That was a bad beat.
And I told you which one I liked, and I was right. I hit my parlay.
Yep.
So.
Well, you should have faded both of them if you had any backbone.
No, because I knew you were right about the Lions.
What am I, 6-5 now or 7-6? I know I'm a game above. I got a Thursday night lock already set.
Oh, God.
You are now 6-7-1. Oh, no, sorry. You're 7-6-1.
7-6-1.
You better be careful.
The Fade the Dibbers record is 6-7-1.
You can drop the draw. Nobody cares about the draw.
I trust in Fade the Dibbers. I really do. We're presented by Fremont Bank. Celebrating.
Hot.
60. You're not. Celebrating. You've won one in a row.
No, actually, he's lost one in a row. Because
he got the Lions game and it ended later.
Yes, no, Grandy, right.
Yeah,
duh.
Yeah. Celebrating.
I'm looking at this from the Fade the Dibbers record, not from Dibbs' record.
Grandy, I'm trying to gas up Fremont Bank. Celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. All right, now you can rip Dibbs again.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
888-957-9570. Hey, good job booking Vogelsong there, Lucas.
Yeah, maybe he'll call in a little bit.
Willard and Dibs.
Thanks.
No. Okay, you're right.
You're wrong.
I'll tell you why. And you're semi-right.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Wheeling and dealing going on in here.
Yeah,
we might have
a trade.
Yeah, we might.
Look at Grandy. He thinks we're talking about our fantasy league. We're not.
Okay, carry on.
We're talking about trading phone numbers.
We're swapping contacts.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. My guys for his guys.
That's right.
I have juice in very few areas, but...
You got some friends in low places.
And sometimes those low places are needed.
Yeah.
I'm going to do you a solid. I don't know why.
I know.
All you do is talk block me.
Seriously.
Make me feel bad about myself. Oh, yeah.
Don't miss the kickoff show this Sunday with Dibs' ex-partner, Lo Neal.
Go to hell, Dibs.
And Evan Giddings.
Go to hell, Dibs.
Live 2 hours before the start of the game. They'll talk chicken milk and more. Hilton Santa Clara will be the spot for delicious food like chicken milk and great drinks and the best pregame show in the Bay Area. Lo and Evan, presented by Habas Law. You've been wrong. Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit habaslaw.com. Vogie update? Are we just out or are we still efforting? I don't care. Like, let's just talk about this. What do we got?
Oh, we're always efforting.
Okay.
We're just waiting on a call back at this
just
point.
Just waiting on a call back. Okay. Yeah. Something came up for Vogie. I bet it's the Buster called him and offered him a coaching gig. He's like, now I can't talk to those guys. Now we got to keep this under the covers.
Yep.
We got some stuff brewing. I bet that's what happened. Matt Cain said it at 2:30, and now Vogie is like, we're going to have to push back a little bit. So, we'll see.
It will be interesting to see who Buster tabs from his past. And I know we've all talked about former players. We asked Matt Cain and, you know, Kaner, 40th birthday today. Happy birthday, Matt.
Yep.
Was like, nah, I'm good. But I'm sure some of those guys who are at least lightweight interested in doing it, if somebody I was that close to got a gig like that, I certainly would place a call.
Well, if that's what you want. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Matt Cain signed a deal for over $100 million. So did Buster. That's why we were talking earlier about, well, Buster's not doing this for the money. He must only be doing it. And again, if whoever said that to me earlier will remain nameless, thank you for that thought, because I thought it was a really, really interesting one, which is you look at this situation analytically, okay? Not baseball analytics, your own analysis. Take a look at it. Why would Buster do this? I find this to be a very comforting thought. He's not doing it for money. He's certainly not doing it for attention. He's not doing it because his wife wants him out of the house and she'd like to raise the four kids by herself. He's not doing it for any of those reasons. There really only can be one that anybody can think of. And it's that he freaking loves Giants baseball, and watching them flounder hurts like hell. And one thing they kept saying at the presser today, when someone like Buster asks for the ball, you give it to him. It's kind of like when KD was yelling at Draymond, and Draymond just dribbled right by him.
And he was doing the clap, 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 clap. Yep.
Give me the ball. Well, Buster did that, and Greg Johnson was like, here.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen next, but at a minimum, you ignite not just, and this is why I don't really buy into the whole it's a PR stunt thing. Yes, it ignites the fan base, but I wonder if all of you can hear and feel how it has ignited the actual organization, the actual players, the former players, the current players, the marketing people, the concession stands, like, my God, everybody's ignited.
And we've heard from various sources inside the building of a general discontent with the direction. And you'd mentioned this before about, pictures about glory days and past accomplishments coming down off of walls and a general lightweight scrubbing of the successes and of the past. And that's always a tough one where you inherit something that's been very, very good, and you want to make your own way. But sometimes when you make your own way, you do it by trying to get rid of the past. And that's a little bit of an insecurity, in my opinion. And so now you bring in a guy from the past, a hero from the past, a guy who has won 3 rings and is one of the best drafted players of all time. So I'm sure inside the building is a great, not only relief, but also a celebration of what they all remember, the glory days, right? Shout out Bruce Springsteen.
Absolutely. Okay. That's important, what you just said. I hope everybody heard that.
Well, I hope you heard it.
I heard it. That's why I'm spotlighting it.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
There's no game on, so you're actually listening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's early in the week.
It is early. Got some WNBA playoffs coming on.
Did everybody hear what Dan Devlin just said? I actually think, and my bad for doing an entire baseball season without bringing up what I actually think is the most important thing, the most important flaw in what Farhan Zaidi was doing through all of it. I know what everybody's going to, he couldn't land a big fish, and he was cheap, and he was a nerd, and okay, fine, whatever. Luciano can't play short. All fair things. The most important thing that you need to take away from the Farhan Zaidi era was his insecurity. You just said the word. And I think it is the epicenter of everything that happened around it. Farhan Zaidi, what do we know? He's literally removing pictures from the walls, like you just brought up. Pictures from the past, because he felt threatened by the 3 World Series championships that happened before his arrival. Is it because he wanted credit? I don't really feel it was that he wanted credit. I think it's a little bit more intricate than that. I think he wanted his way to be right. And he was very, very stubborn with that. Therefore, everything that was happening around him would sort of force a certain behavior that wasn't often the right thing to do. If I could sit here with Farhan Zaidi today, I'd say this directly to his face. I wish you could have walked a little bit more confidently into what you were doing. And what I mean by that is work with the past and work with the future as opposed to being so stubborn about Tuesday. Tuesday, we're sending Matos down because we're facing a right-hander and we need Trenton Brooks. You know what I mean? Stop trying to prove that you're right with every single little move, because a lot of times you were and a lot of times you weren't, but that's just not the way to do it. And I think that he sort of stumbled into that at times, and that affected all of these decisions and the morale and everything around him and the way the former players talked about him and the way the veteran players felt about him, all of that stuff. I think it all comes from his insecurity. He had rabbit ears. I knew this. You know, if there's anybody on radio or TV in town that was like, man, I hope my message gets to Farhan. He heard you.
Yeah.
I promise you, he heard you. He knew everything that was written. He knew everything that was said. And then he went out and he tried to prove those people wrong. And I've learned this lesson in my life, too. That's just not the way to do it. It doesn't work. It doesn't help.
Unless you have unmitigated success, and that's the only way that you can go about making that approach work. Because if not, then the people who you alienate, the people who you ostracize on the inside, are going to be more likely to turn against you because you are ultimately the outsider. And when you start to scrub some of the memories and you start to disrespect some of the greatness that has taken place before you, and you come in with an approach of this is the new way, it's my way, and it's going to work. And when it ceases to work and you start to have a real struggle and you don't have the same level of success, then you're not going to have as many people standing up next to you or standing up behind you saying, no, this is the guy, it's going to work, give him more time, put your faith in him. And that's just one way to go about it, and it's a way that's not going to probably work unless you are really, really successful.
Let's go to Marlon in Concord. Hi, Marlon. Thanks for calling. What's up? Marlon, you there?
Marlon,
hey.
Oh, man, that was a buzzer beater. We're about to hang the freak up on you.
No, I was shopping at Safeway, man. Sorry.
Oh, we'll see you in the aisles. Yeah, exactly. What are you buying right now?
Oh, man, stuff for the kids, just bread, you know, milk, all that stuff.
Bread, milk.
I usually wouldn't buy for myself.
Cheese, eggs, cheese, yep.
All that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
I love bread.
Hey guys,
big fan.
I hear that in the commercial. But, hey, I'm calling in because I feel like, you know, people are really piling the dirt on Farhan, and I understand why. But, you know, I think, first off, he had the Dodgers cologne on him, so I don't think he and Gabe were ever really fully accepted. But what you just said before you answered the call, I think it does show a lack of confidence. You don't come in and take anything down because things were there before you arrived. But I also think that people like to kind of call the Giants fan base a bit of homers. They you know, you got a lot of fans starting in 2010, and I think that people just couldn't let go of Bochy. They could not let go of that, and that analytics are sort of the wave of the future. So it was funny you mentioned earlier your son doesn't quite have a favorite baseball player yet.
Yep.
And maybe because there hasn't been anybody good for a while. But I do think that the future is less of Bochy and a little bit more of what a Farhan could be. But Farhan wasn't that guy. And the last point I want to make is them not landing the big fish, that was the kind of the things that are really on, you know, top of mind. But I think that it was a blessing they didn't get Correa and waste a lot of money there. And I do think that the having Buster, you know, on the staff is really going to hopefully land those bigger players, especially now that Chapman decided to stay. I do think that if they would have had another 100-plus season, maybe fans felt different. But anyways, hopefully the Giants will be successful, and thanks for taking my call.
Marlon, thanks. That's a good call, and enjoy Safeway. I hope you go home with a lot of good stuff to eat for the kids.
No doubt. Make sure you get the app and clip those coupons for extra savings.
The digital deals, man, they just poof right there at checkout. It's amazing. But anyway, I will say this really quick. It's like anything else in life, timing is everything. And I'm not saying that you would have liked Farhan if it had been a different scenario, but here's what I will say. This is just like anything else in life. Farhan followed a dynasty. Buster is following Farhan. So who's getting sort of a different landing spot? Like, anytime you follow a legend, and whether this is fair or not, Farhan felt like he was following Bochy, even though they're in completely different roles. It felt like he fired Bochy. He didn't. I promise you, he didn't. Did Bochy want to go? Maybe a little bit.
No, I was forced out.
Maybe not, but was he forced out by Farhan? I'd argue no. They knew he was leaving the second they hired Farhan. So there were many voices in the room on that, and it was situational, and the Giants were in a bad spot. They weren't a good baseball team at that time. So he's going to be held to a standard that was very difficult. I'm fine with that. This is Giants baseball. You got to live up to that. And he didn't. But I keep stuff like that in mind. Like, what's your starting point?
Of course.
Well, your starting point was, we're changing to a whole new direction, even though this was a direction that was wildly successful and all of us loved it more than anything in all of life in terms of baseball. And now Buster Posey is Buster. He's literally the face of all that great stuff that happened before, and he's coming in to replace someone who was widely disliked. So Buster's leash is going to be incredibly long. Someone said to me today at the press conference, I'm pretty sure there's never going to be a hashtag Firebuster, no matter what happens.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Well,
there's no way any real Giants fan would even let their fingers type that.
Well, if they have three bad years, worse years, years that make look like a genius, if the Buster Posey moves do not do anything, and this team has three more years of this, if not a little bit worse, I don't know if Fire Buster will be a hashtag, but there will be some movement, and I don't think that he's going to get 10 or 15 years no matter what.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's going to get respect no matter what.
Yes,
he's Buster Posey.
We've seen some other legends be forced out or have their legacy disparaged a little bit over the time when they went into the front office.
That's an interesting thought. Let's explore that a little bit more. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.